Well, I don't know. Do we have like topics? Are we?
Now this is a non-topic podcast. We don't do topics here, Luke.
The mid-sized truck podcast.
Yeah. That's what we should
That's the main one.
rebrand the
Just
mid-sized
mid-sized
truck
truck.
show. Instead,
Yeah. Do all the
take that,
branding
Sean
exactly
Holman.
the same.
Yeah.
Just mid-sized
You
truck
think we
show.
get Sean and Jay to sign off on that?
Yeah, sure. I'm wondering if they would then change their name to the full-size
The
truck show
full-size truck show.
or the compact truck show.
The compact, yes.
Uh,
The mini truck
the
show.
mini truck show. I don't want to be a part of that one. That one's stupid, trashy.
You love mini trucks.
I
Yeah, mini
do.
trucks are the best.
I know. Doesn't mean they're not trashy.
Can be, I guess. I'll give you that.
In that whole like property of madness that I was talking about with all the equipment and everything, there was
Yeah.
a truck that my little brother had been gifted by the family,
Okay.
and it's been, I think he said 12 years since this happened, or maybe he was 12 years old. That's what it was. He was 12 years old when he was gifted this truck, and it's a square body Chevy. It's in pretty good shape. It's like a three quarter ton. I think it's a two wheel drive, but I don't remember. It might be four wheel drive. I might be mixing it up with another one that was there. Anyways, we're looking at it, kind of going over it and kind of laughing about how his dad was supposed to pick it up and he never did and blah, blah, blah. We went through all this stuff. And later on that afternoon or later on that morning, there was a guy that stopped by for something else. He was trying to buy something from, you know, the employee or something like that. And he says, yeah, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff here that, you know, never, I could never buy. And I always wanted to buy stuff from my uncle. And he's like, but I couldn't do it. He wouldn't sell anything to me. Yeah. You know, he wouldn't let things go. And then he says, you know, there's this square body Chevy just right over there. I've been trying to get. And at one point he said, no, that belongs to my nephew. He's coming to get it. You can't have it. And he's like, and I just figured that was a story. And I was like, no, that's him. That's the nephew right
That's the
there.
nephew right over there.
He didn't pick it up.
Go talk to him.
That's pretty good. We started talking about some things to talk about. I said I had some stories, I guess.
Yeah.
What were they? Oh, I was going to talk about Columbia cars.
Yep.
Columbia cars were kind of fun. What was the comment, Luke, about the Chevette? Is that a that must have been an Ecuador thing, I'm assuming. Or is there a movie that I don't understand?
Yeah, they're real common in no, they're really common in South America. It's like they're everywhere in Ecuador.
Crazy.
And I don't know, Robert and I just spent the entire time we were down there pointing him out because he thought it was so funny.
That's funny.
And then I kind of did too. And like you don't see Chevettes here because they've all been crushed,
Yeah.
thank God.
Or exported to South America.
They're still going strong in South America.
There was, I made the comment, and maybe I sent the picture. I saw a Chevy Sprint. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting, especially after you'd made that comment. And I didn't see any more until, I don't know, maybe the last day or something. And then I saw like four of them. And I was like, oh, okay. The cars there, I don't know if Ecuador is like this, but it was the weirdest group of cars I'd ever seen. We got like, we got out to the airport, and there's a lot of like Renaults and Dacias. Yeah. Pronouncing it right, yeah, Dacia,
Yeah.
and maybe some Hyundais and stuff. Oh no, sorry, Chevys. Lots of like Chevy Traverses and weird stuff like that. And I was like, okay. And the closer we got to where we stayed, there were weird one-offs, like 4Runners, new 4Runners, not like the model that's upcoming, but like 24 4Runners. I saw like three 250 Prado Land Cruisers, which was cool. Saw a 300 series, which was cool. But also like random 1-3 series BMW per 1,000 cars. Like, and I was just like, what is this doing here?
Now, where did you fly into?
Into Cartagena and out of.
Okay. And Cartagena is in more inland,
It's on
right?
the coast. It is a port city.
Oh, Cartagena is on the coast also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
But the closer you get to the resort, the more that's kind of weird. I thought maybe it was like
Sorry, not to the
inland
resort.
versus coast stuff.
Well, that's a weird thing because you know, there's some disparity in like those areas, like what's so the walled city, like the historic walled city where we stayed first, is in the city. And it's yeah. really cool. It's all historic. And around it is like the big city, like I don't think what to compare it to. I don't know what would compare it. I guess maybe Mexico City, kind of like that. Maybe I haven't spent any time there, but it, like looking at it, obviously that's huge. But in that kind of like same idea. But then the resort that we stayed at was way, 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 way off the path, and there was nothing near there. There was no cars. Like I mean, I'm sure that cars were in there somewhere, but but what I meant was more like in the little city. It was kind of crazy.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that is kind of weird. Just different parts of the city, I guess.
Yeah. But. Well, it was even in the same place. It was all random stuff. I just like, you know, like when you're here, you see a bunch of Subarus and you're like, oh, there's a lot of Subarus in this town. When you're in whatever, and you're in Colorado, same thing. You might see a ton of mid-sized trucks or whatever the thing is.
Four runners.
But like,
I live in Four Runner land.
I couldn't pick out, other than the taxis, one kind of car I saw more of than others. I saw like some Pajeros and some,
of course,
different Land Cruisers. I sent a picture of it and nobody responded. I felt kind of like nobody knew what I sent, but there was a two-door Prado, like a 105 or whatever, like the one like the GX 470s, mm-hmm. but a two-door. I'd never seen one of those before. It's called a Toyota Sumo, I think. Didn't know it existed. I'm getting the series mixed up. I forget what it's not a 105, because a 105 is like the straight axle.
It's a 100 series that's got a solid axle.
We'll see. Whatever. I don't know what they are, but weird vehicle.
Yeah. Let's see. Be a 70, it looks like. This is what they... It's a J70.
I thought you sent it too, but I don't see it. I just see that 300 series.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, Prado. Yeah, it looks like a RAV4, but it's a
RZJ90.
There we go. That seems right. Yeah, weird, right?
It looks like a RAV4, but I don't know. It's weird.
It's way bigger than a RAV4, which is strange. And then those, I don't know if you
almost looks like a V-Across.
Yeah, a little bit. It does a little bit
less, less in your face.
Yeah.
They're a little docile.
Yeah. It's like it's a classy undercover. I saw a few new RAV4s, and I saw also no automatic vehicles. Anytime we rode in something or looked at it, I thought to myself, I wonder if they make a new manual RAV4 and it's only for like Latin America something.
Yeah. Just for that market, I wouldn't be surprised.
They also have a ton of the Fortuner. Have you seen that? The Toyota Fort. It looks like Fort Runner, but it's not. It's like Fortuner.
Fortuna?
And it looks like a cross between an RX-330, a Sequoia, and a Land Cruiser, kind of. They're very odd. They have...
Oh, that is weird. It has a really high belt line.
Yeah. For a minute, I was like, oh, it's a Sequoia. And I was like, no. No, it's not a Sequoia. Like a Highlander. It's built on the Hilux chassis, apparently. So it's like a Hilux 4Runner.
The rear three-quarter looks like a Sienna.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a previous-gen Sienna.
If you squint at it, it looks like a Sequoia with Lexus taillights to me.
Weird. What a weird car.
Yeah, it's an oddball.
A lot of Chinese stuff, too, I imagine.
Only a few things. A couple BYDs, but that's all I saw. Oh, and we rode in a Chery.
Got the Chery.
Got the Chery.
Yeah. But overall, what a great place. Cool food, great people. It's like, awesome. I read online that there's like a lot of like street vendors and they're really aggressive. and there are a lot of street vendors and they ask a lot, but they're not aggressive at all. Like if you just look at them and say, no gracias, or even no, they just go away. Yeah. Like they don't even care. They don't get into
business. No is universal for...
Yeah. For, no.
For the two languages.
I think that's everywhere I've been touristy. Though. Same, that's
Well, and I was like...
Italy. Like, Rome is that way.
What I was telling my wife was that, like, I think in Rome specifically, they're kind of rude about it. Like, they kind of, like, get in front of you and don't want to let you go. Whereas these people were just like, no, okay, move on. It was fine. So, but overall, great. Really good stuff. Cool cars. Definitely not like a... place that I would do a car vacation, probably.
Mm-hmm.
The roads are terrible. Not that is a huge deal, but the drivers are absolutely insane, which also is not surprising.
Well, like,
product of the year.
When you read, when you read people talk about doing the Pan Am Highway, when they, you know, when they go from Panama to Colombia, they don't write like 40 page blogs about how much they love Northern Colombia. They write it about the Andes you know, the Patagonia and all that.
Yeah, it'd be, I also had this funny thought about like people that have like Earth Cruisers and Earth Roamers and all these crazy expedition vehicles. As we were at this resort that was kind of in the middle of nowhere, we left, the road to it was like a probably 15 mile dirt road that was not in great shape. And I thought, I think if you won the lottery and you were on an expedition in quotes, and you just went to a fancy resort like this for like a week on your trip, that'd be a nice way to do it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you got to, when you're out that long, you got to split it up a little bit. Yeah. You know, that way you can, you know, a little reset, wash clothes, you
hang
know,
out on the beach,
hang out on the beach for a day or two. And then,
then move on.
I mean, look at the Grand Tour. They like do weird, like car camping stuff, and then they always end up at like a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thanks, BBC. I guess it's not BBC for that one, but still, well, they got used to it.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Well, it was still Top Gear.
Yeah.
Then Amazon. And,
Yeah. Cool. Well, I didn't see any new Tacomas.
Of course.
Which is surprising, I guess. I don't know. I was surprised to see
new Fords. Is that because they said Hilux on the...
No. I mean, I saw Hilux.
Well, yeah, they could have been Hiluxes there, so... Yeah.
I don't know. Is the new Tacoma a global platform, or is it just North America?
I think it's...
It might just be North America.
I think that the actual... Ironically enough, I think the platform is globally shared. That TGNAF or whatever it is.
Yeah. But the body
I think the body is specific to North America. I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
Don't quote him on that. Or send an email to
please send
Jesse's
an email.
New email address.
Whatever Jesse's email
secret
is.
secretrscp@gmail.com to correct Sean on that.
Just does not roll off the tongue, Jesse.
Well, no, it's because we have to think about it. It's too hard to like retrain yourself to say RSCP. So
it just seems like a joke. I
mean, it is a joke, I guess, but yeah. But it also is a real email address.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Well, I was going to transition that beautifully into Luke giving us some mid-sized truck news. Where
I don't really have any mid-sized truck.
It really wasn't news.
It wasn't much news. It was just kind of a funny.
A funny overview of every accessory on the Trail Hunter.
Yeah. From the drive. Yeah. Was that a... Yeah. Let's see. Go to the drive.
Just on that note, I've got...
Cybertruck news. Let's avoid that one.
Yeah, I've got a buddy that... the one I showed you the video of that car jumped the hill in oncoming traffic and ran into his Gladiator
In
Seattle.
Yeah.
He's been talking to me about what he wants to replace the Gladiator with.
Yep.
And he said he had a Tacoma before and he really liked it. And I was like, really? That's too bad. And then he was like, I mean, the new TRD Pro is really cool and this and that. And I was like, well, yeah, but then you got to sit in those seats. And he's like, those are kind of stupid, aren't they? And he's not a car guy. Like, even non-car people are looking at some of these things and being like, not really into that.
Well, the Trail Hunter does not have those silly seats.
Okay.
It just has a lot of accessories.
Right.
Apparently the snorkel sounds really cool. I didn't actually
I was
going to
say, they don't mention the seats.
No, it's got regular seats.
Because that's a TRD Pro thing, right?
Yeah, Pro only.
But then if you read the thing about the snorkel, like people that don't, he's like, well, it's really useless. Like, then the comments are like, yeah, but it's for dust. It's not really, you're not supposed to like actually drive up to your windshield and water, you know, it's like,
I mean, but if you were to do that,
it is dual purpose technically. Yeah. But
I don't know.
But yes.
I've been making fun of snorkels for a long time. I've finally given up on making fun of them. Whatever.
Also, Toyota's building a lifestyle vehicle that looks like an off-road vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the...
You hate snorkels.
I know. I'm coming around to just being neutral on snorkels.
Snorkel neutral.
Yeah. I'm all inclusive on snorkels.
Luke stopped recording. Something went wrong.
I thought I saw him mouth.
Hey, Fred.
Oh, there he goes.
Hey. All right. Well, now that you're back,
hey,
and it's echoing, so you, if you could go ahead and turn your speaker off.
Oh. And once you're done with that, could you go ahead and introduce us?
This can't be changed while recording. While recording the Campfire Passport podcast.
Okay. Kind of short.
You look so uncomfortable, Luke.
So.
It's all you.
How about Ford suing Bronco? Or I should say Ford suing, what's their names?
What is the name
essentially
of
what they're doing is suing a Bronco creator.
Share a screen, Colin.
I got to look
bring
it
up. Pull it up, Jamie.
I don't know what it's called. Does Luke know?
Vintage. It's Vintage. I don't know the name of it. Vintage Bronco, not a Georgia company, or rest of Mono Broncos. It's the company's called Vintage Broncos.
Vintage Broncos. Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Well, maybe that's part of their problem with the being sued bit. It's the name.
Is the name?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. Yeah, I don't know what all the details.
There they are.
Of it, really is, but they've got this. What is it? Is it the Resto Mod one? No.
They really
it's this
paint,
one.
They paint a picture of a traditional restoration not being good.
They've got modern classic. So where they are taking your old Bronco body and putting it on a new Bronco chassis.
Yep.
So.
This is the one that.
Ford wants to sue them because apparently people are too confused about what the Bronco looks like.
It looks like a Chinese knockoff of a Bronco.
It does kind
first
of,
off.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of an odd look to it.
I think that
Alcoa's.
One of the things I read had to do with Ford feeling as though they're ripping off their Ford's intellectual property with the by using the modern chassis and its underpinnings. Essentially that Ford poured billions of dollars into this project to design and develop the modern Bronco, and that Vintage Broncos is just like passing this off as this thing they did themselves.
Well, I mean, they gotta
from an
buy
IP standpoint,
they gotta buy a chassis from Ford, right?
Beforehand. Yeah, but then they're reselling it as a new thing that they did, and without proper licensing, I don't think you can really do that.
All right, so you're thinking it's because they're saying that they did it, basically, not because...
Or the image, maybe they're not explicitly saying we did this, but the image is as if it's their own thing. Like, I mean, look at that. Who believes that they're putting that steering wheel in the Bronco on their own? Nobody. But or at least not car people, but somebody that might spend $500,000 on a 60s Bronco might think that.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, Singer's probably the nearest comparison to something like that.
Yep, that's what I was saying. That's they keep getting sued by Porsche.
Well, they don't. they initially did, but one they're not even rebotting. They're using existing chassis. European laws are a little different there anyway. But
Singers are U.S. made.
Most they are.
Yeah.
I thought they were made in England.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, okay, so I'm wrong about that, but
sorry.
No, it's okay. I'd rather be corrected on the spot. But I think that most of what goes into a Singer is made in house. And then like the upgraded engines made by Williams, like they're, it's not like they're taking a modern 911 and putting an old body on it.
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and they really, as opposed to reskinning something, they really are reengineering it under their own premise, like kind of like Roof. Like they get the exception on that too, right? Like where they,
well, Roof used to buy bare body and white chassis from Porsche. Now they make their own chassis, but they used to just buy basically blank sheet metal from Porsche and then do their thing with it. But Singer, for whatever reason, Porsche decided they didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Singer, and correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but I think that they got in trouble for using the name originally. I think that was the big thing. That's why it's like reimagined 911. I think that's what came out, because they used to have on the bottom, they had a, like it said Singer 911 or something like that on it. Mm-hmm. And they had to get rid of that pretty
well. And I think it had the, they don't put the Porsche crest on it, where it, I think the early ones had the script badge on the engine lid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Porsche by Singer, and then it would have the crest on the hood and all that.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that was where Porsche got. That's what this says Ford is doing also.
With the
Bronco. It's saying that Ford claims Vintage Bronco is using the Bronco name and logo without permission.
Sure.
Also says Vintage Bronco's vehicles are, quote, substantially indistinguishable and confusingly similar to Ford's Bronco.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give them the first one, 100%. They shouldn't be calling it a Bronco if Ford doesn't let them. And I understand this looks like a Bronco, like to a general car enthusiast, so they might be able to get away with it, but you can't compare this to a new Bronco. It doesn't look anything like a new Bronco, and it kind of looks like an old Bronco. So since they don't, since the old Bronco is not on sale, is there any like legal reason that you can't make something that looks like something that you used to make or someone used to make? I don't know about that.
I wouldn't.
That's weird.
I mean, I think it's just the, it has to just be the name thing because there's.
Yeah, it's intellectual property stuff. It's not so much that they can't sell, you know, refurbished old Broncos. You can do that, but I think that there's a line that gets crossed with certain items or branding.
Man, I'll tell you what, I would not pay money for that. I hate these things.
They are kind of silly. They do look have an odd look that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like something, and it could be because we're so used to seeing a new Bronco and a, you know, original Bronco.
Yeah.
And this is like combining the two somehow in the body itself. And it like throws the proportions and like your vision off slightly for both directions.
It's weird. It's got a really high belt line because it's a new Bronco.
Yeah.
It has a lot of front overhang too, which is goofy because it's got the old look, but about 4 to 6 inches more overhang because original Broncos have like no front overhang, which is a nice design feature they have. And this has got this goofy ass thing going on. And the fender wells, for whatever reason, remind me of a Scout in the worst way.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, a bad Scout.
Bad Scout. Yeah. Have we talked about the new Scout? We talked about the new Scout, right?
Very. It was because when we talked about it, it was pre the release.
Oh, okay.
And I made the comment from the art because it wasn't even a render. It was like a drawing.
Okay. Yep.
And I said, huh, that looks like Rivian made it.
Yeah.
And then sure enough.
It looks a little bit like that.
It looks very Rivian.
The
Rivian-y.
Truck especially, the SUV not so much. What I swear we did talk about this. A bunch of people said that I followed along with, like when it first released, was that it was really big. Like it, people said that it was much larger. I don't remember who it was. Somebody at least said that it was much larger than it seemed like it was. But the thing I was thinking about, I was just talking to my brother about this last week. One of the cool things about that Scout is the Dana solid rear axle with an electric motor. Have you seen that part of it? They use a regular, like whatever Dana 60 or whatever type housing, but they put an electric motor in the differential or like at the differential. It's really cool.
Sean Holman talked about that when they prototyped that a couple of years ago, he got to do a tour of the like Dana facility and they did like a deep dive on that thing. It's pretty cool.
I would think if they offer that as a crate package, like even if, especially if it was a front and rear axle with individual motors, ooh, that would be cool. You put that under whatever, a Jeep or something, and then just get rid of all of your regular drivetrain and put battery stuff and controllers in place and have, I mean, all the usability of front and rear individual motors with a bunch of torque.
Well, it says mechanical here it's got diff. Disconnect and front and rear lockers.
Yeah.
Which, crazy. I mean, that's that raises the number of factory vehicles with front and rear lockers to what, 3?
Yeah, I was going to say by about 33%. Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what happens with them. It's, you know, it's a Volkswagen product, which is kind of weird to like talk about.
But it's like a dedicated team.
Yeah, it is its own brand.
It's not like they took an Atlas and turned it. Nope. Yeah, I mean, even from an engineering perspective, it's not like they're borrowing parts off of Volkswagen assembly line.
No.
Eventually they will. I'm sure the window switches and the center stack will be out of Golf.
Well, but the interesting part is that, you know, the speculation I think there is that they share some technology and they have like a large stake in owning Rivian's technology. So that's kind of where that line starts to cross into.
Isn't this center console kind of
a little bit
Rivian? Yeah. The front fender looks Bronco.
Yeah.
That front fender is a total Bronco.
I mean, ultimately, chassis-wise, it has no, I mean, it's like almost no similarities because it's completely different design as far as like the way that it works. But yeah, some of the design stuff, I almost think that it's got to be inspired by, because the Rivian was such a good like clean slate SUV design or truck design.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Because these are body on frame, Rivian's skateboard chassis.
Yeah.
One thing here, it's shorter and narrower than Rivian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let's see. The length is 190 versus the Rivian 200.
Are we talking SUV wheelbase. Or truck?
Truck.
Truck. Okay.
SUV. S versus Traveler.
Okay.
190 versus 200. Sits on a shorter 120-inch wheelbase. Rivian's longer. Traveler is narrower at 80 versus the Rivian 82. Scout's lower, 76 versus 77 inch lower. Also has less ground clearance by 2.5 inches. Yeah, so it's like it's
a little smaller.
Not substantially smaller, but it's
Maybe it just looked. It was hard to pin down the proportions when they like drove them into the release. Yeah, I actually watched
because they were the only two vehicles. It's not like you could compare it to something else. They do that on purpose.
But... Yeah, I was like, this is interesting.
Manufacturers do that on purpose, try and just environmentally hide proportions.
Sure.
But, I mean, look at the R3X. You can't really – proportions like it's the size of a Golf, but it's really the size of a RAV4.
Did we? I feel like we talked about this too when that first came out. Is it really the same size as a RAV4? Is that?
It's probably shorter height wise, but I think otherwise it's pretty big.
I'm curious to see him.
Look at the Ioniq 5. It's huge.
Yeah, I just rolled up in one in the Q5 the other day, and I was like trying to like get close enough to it to figure out what the length was, if it was longer. They're huge inside though, so obviously. Yeah.
But they look like they should be the size of a Golf, and then you stand next to one, and it's not.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I don't know what my opinion is. Go Ford in that Ford versus vintage scenario.
Oh, we're back on that. Yeah. Okay.
I'm all for just to bring like, it back.
We don't have a.
Oh, I'd rather buy the Scout than a Bronco. By the way.
I think I would too.
Really?
I think I would like over a new Bronco.
For the range
yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Scout for the range extender. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I still am fully in on the new Bronco anyway. I don't know what exactly it is. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I get all of its stuff that it's got going on. And I appreciate that. But I don't know. There's something about it that I don't like it. I don't, not enough to say that I would take it over one of these new Scouts.
I like the Bronco, but I don't. I go in and out. There are times where I'm like, yeah, yeah, these things are really cool. And then other times, eh. I see too many of them that are just stock or have like not great wheels and tires and some lights on them. And I just think, not so much. And then the Raptor is really cool, but I don't love the fender flares. So when I see one, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Yeah. That choice that was made there to just use the same exact body and put a different flare on, like bolt on a different flare.
I mean,
and it's like I get it from a manufacturing standpoint. It's fantastic, man, for them. That is great. But
can you imagine
if it had like Raptor fenders, like actual Raptor fender from like an F-150?
Yeah.
But then, mm-hmm. but then that changes because they're not an F-150. Like they're not close enough.
No,
to and an F-150. Look, so
no, they're more like a Ranger chassis.
Yeah. Yeah. And the body itself, they made sure it didn't look anything like an F-150.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of I
don't know if that's an error on their part or if that's like a good thing that it doesn't look like an F-150.
I mean, it does its job of kind of being a little bit like a Wrangler. It does.
I think that's what it is. They leaned too far into we need to make it as much like a Wrangler as possible instead of being like we're going to make this a Ford because the Bronco always looked like the F-150. Except for the Bronco one. 2.
Well, and old, but, like, first-gen Broncos.
But all of the full-size Broncos.
Bronco 2 was a Ranger?
Bronco 2 was a Ranger.
Sure.
But all the other Broncos, full-size Broncos, it's the same as an F-150 other than the very first generation. Everything after that, it's literally the same as a truck.
Yeah. I think that they probably wouldn't have sold as many if it looked like...
If it looked like an F-150?
Yeah, because it would be an Expedition. Yeah. You think about it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Because it'd have to be a four-door because we live in
because they went too far down the Expedition road.
Yep.
And now they can't get out of it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's its own thing. And
well, that's because they're all cop cars. Of course you can't get out of it.
or Ubers.
Out of the back seats, yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my favorite, but they serve a purpose, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a Jeep person, so
I know
we do that.
You are a Jeep people.
Yeah, I'm a Jeep people.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
Remind me, what else did I have? I think that's it. I think that's all I had, other than just kind of shooting the shit with my friends and playing. Would you pay money for that?
That's some game show.
Wow. Did you work on finding that for a while, or is that just the first thing you found?
That was the first game show intro currently on this list.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid one.
That was good.
All right. So I've got a handful.
Ooh, I like a handful.
Would you pay money for this? Is
okay.
We're going to start. Okay. Do you want to start oldest? Or newest?
I answered first last time. So, Luke, you go ahead. Okay.
Oldest.
Oldest. Okay. Starting from the oldest. All right. Here we go.
Age before beauty.
Age before beauty. Well, it could be beauty and age on this one. Right here.
Oh, my God.
This here, we've got.
Yep. I would pay money for that. Next.
So this is a, what did it say? 66, I think. Ford F. Does it even give me a, doesn't give me the F series, but Ford pickup truck, 352 FE.
Ooh.
It's got a dang old PTO out, just the plate on it. He doesn't have a PTO on it, but it can run PTO.
Okay.
Four-speed manual, divorce 205, Dana 60 front, Dana 70 dually rear, brand spanking, this is direct quote, brand spanking new radial super swampers.
Okay.
Still have the nubs on the tread. Lights and gauges work, full set of service manuals, extra parts. It was originally a Forest Service truck, And so that's why it's got the PTO on it.
Yeah.
And it's got a little flatbed.
Very heavy duty steel flatbed.
Yes, yes. So as you can see, he's got his...
Man, are those look like those like oddball like 34-1050s or something.
Yeah, they could be. They're definitely the oddball skinnies.
I like everything about this, first off.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's $8,000 or best offer, mm-hmm. which seems kind of like a deal. Like, it, I know it's an original engine and a four-speed, but like,
mm-hmm.
that thing is cool. I have no use for it at all.
There is absolutely
no need. Less than a need for that, but I would totally pay money for that. And I would pay that money for
this. F-250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What would I do with it?
Drive it around. Just drive it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no aspirations of camping, four wheeling, anything with our six wheeling, I guess.
As it is.
Nothing. Just driving that around.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to get my dog to stand on the back like a ranch dog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Without a leash. Yeah.
It's never happened. Just, I wouldn't have a dog anymore.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah, it's super cool. I also would pay money for this.
I guess if anybody is not able to see this, which is most people, it's a 66 F-250, like you said. It's red, single cab. There are different cab variations, but it's single cab.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the big mirrors. It's got all the cab lights across the top. It's got just a basic flatbed and black steel wheels and super swampers.
Yeah. Little super swampers.
Little ones. It's not big.
I'm curious.
I don't know if it's like lifted a little, like a spring over or like a high boy kind of scenario. I don't know, but it's beautiful.
Oh man, if I could zoom in right there, I'd be able to see what the hell that.
Do we want to call this person while we're on the podcast?
Right. Let's see if I can do this. Let's go.
Enhance.
Oh, it keeps resizing. Dang it.
That's insane. God.
Damn. Yeah. They're probably
16s. Is that Mike?
16.5. What was that?
That Jeep bed down below there, Mike's?
I thought you were going to fight. You know how many times that I've...
Scroll down a little.
Look this at guy
that
right thing. Here?
That looks like... Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, Lodi, California. Yeah. Kind of looks like Mike's bed.
I don't know about you guys, but I've found out that Mike is selling a project at least two or three times by scrolling Facebook Marketplace mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah. Going like, just pops up.
Hey, look at that. There's Mike's Jeep. Sometimes I'll send it to him. Sometimes
Yes, I would pay money for that for the same reasons that Sean listed. I just think it's cool.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
Why would you laugh at that?
I didn't mean to.
Colin, would you pay money for that?
I would, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I already said I would.
Okay.
Previously. So. Just so you know.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on up a couple of years.
Moving on
up? Just a few years. Just a few years. Not too many. For a 1972 Jeep J2000.
Oh, boy.
It's got a 6-liter LS LQ9.
Okay.
Flat top pistons, aluminum rear.
Yeah, because it comes with those stock.
Duramax. Hydro Boost brakes, headers, probably 400 something horsepower, it says.
Okay.
538s, Dana 60 with monster truck full hydraulic steering.
Monster truck?
Monster truck. Right. I don't know if that's a brand name or if it's off a monster truck, but best of the best, it says. Chromoly axles, air lockers, fresh built 4L65, all the good stuff. Atlas. Tom Wood shafts, 16-inch coilover fronts, 18 coilover rear, 4-link front and rear with half-inch thick chromoly links.
Jeez.
14-bolt disc brake rear, chromolys, trusses, got a cage, Fodies that are 20 inches wide. They're boggers.
Yeah. Stupid expensive.
Dual bead locks. It's street legal. This thing is unstoppable, it says.
It might be registered.
So 26,000 for this guy. And I'm going to start going. There's not a ton of pictures, but I think you'll be surprised Because it's a shorty.
Oh, it's little. It's little.
It's a little fella. It's been majorly bobbed and doved, front and rear.
Wow.
Like,
that is not what I expected.
No. Well, I think it's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Especially after that last truck,
which
was a real stunner.
Okay.
I think it's probably worth the money.
Okay.
With in parts and stuff.
But that's not the game.
I would not pay money for this. I do not enjoy the way this looks.
Okay.
I think I would enjoy driving it.
I think it'd be pretty fun.
No.
But no.
Full hydro steer on the street? No.
Well, I wasn't talking about on the street necessarily.
I was about to say I wouldn't drive it on the street. I would drive it on the street, but that's not what I would be interested in.
I thought maybe you were going to go the Sweet Home Mud Dragon.
It'd probably be pretty okay with that. Doesn't have enough power, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are rookie numbers.
Turbos on there, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would pay money for this because it's just weird enough. Like, if I was going to buy something like this, it would not be kind of like how you're... I don't have a purpose for this for the Ford.
Yeah.
I don't have a purpose for this either, other than it's like, this is just the crawler now.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, if I was looking for something kind of different, but cool to make my wheeling rig, this is a pretty solid candidate.
26 for a belt wheeler is not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linked coilovers.
And you don't even have to worry. Yeah. Like, if it's your dedicated wheeler, who cares if it drives on the street?
Exactly. Yeah. You just got to get from the trailer to the trail.
All I'm saying is it's kind of ugly.
Yes.
I think proportion-wise, it does kind of have a little bit of an odd look.
That door bar looks like it would just get hung up on rocks.
It's also
this weird
big.
Little...
Yeah.
I think it must just be to attempt to save the cab when you lean it into something.
Probably.
Because, I mean, the bed, you know, you can get more bed skirts wherever and just throw those back on, but the cab is going to be annoying if you're concerned about beating it up anyway.
Yeah.
The front cut's a little weird also.
The thing would look like Graham's Samurai in a week.
Right. You know,
there's a lot of rounded bars on this build, which is kind of funny because now that you mention the front, it's all like this funny little oval kind of shape.
Yeah.
And they're not oval-shaped trucks. They're very boxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, maybe that's the miscommunicado there, is that it's like too big of radii on the bar work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm a no.
Sean is a no. What about you, Luke?
Yeah, for a dedicated wheeler, I'd go yes.
I will say, again... I don't think it's a bad deal.
Okay.
And if Luke bought it, I would say, wow, that thing's ugly, but good job.
He can tow it behind the Gladiator.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that it's a foot and a half wider.
Yeah. Oh, do we have a special guest?
We might, if he turns his camera on. Guess we'll find out what he's doing.
We might.
Can't hear him or see him. So, Mike says yes. He would pay money for this.
Of course Mike would pay money for this.
Even though that's just in the chat, Mike, since we can't see or hear.
Just yes. He comes in, says yes,
and then leaves. Oh, there he is. Now we got video. Do we have audio, though? I don't think we've got any audio. We've got video, but no audio. Let's see how long it takes him to figure this out.
Did we ever decide early on that you're supposed to be in your garage when recording this? Because everybody, like, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike did it. Jesse does it.
I just did it because it was the only room that didn't have more other people in it.
Got it. I think Luke's done his in his garage, or in the garage, too.
He did during that rainstorm.
The audio is so bad.
Yeah.
No, the last thunderstorm was in here.
Mm, makes sense.
There was a rainstorm out there, though. The rain hitting the skylights. Yeah, the audio is just better in here, and I need to put some sound deadening panels in this room, but whatever.
I gotta get some of those too.
Mike, it says to stop and restart.
Okay. Want to go for break number two?
He's just miming the whole show.
Poor guy.
Now I feel like I have to wait.
Yeah, we should wait for the next one.
Because I've got two. I got two more. Two more of these.
That's good.
Two more.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I went off the rails finding these ones because I was going through Expedition Portal and there just wasn't anything that, you know, that had that bite. You know,
spoke to you.
Yeah, nothing really felt great. So I went down the marketplace path instead.
You know, while we're looking at it, I would maybe pay money for that Trans Am in the background.
Oh my God, of course you would.
Oh God,
I was waiting for that.
Those are the worst.
They're the worst.
But they're kind of cool in that weird way that Mike would like them.
Yeah, Mike's dancing, but
we still can't hear you.
Still can't hear any Mike.
It says actual recording. I don't understand what that means. Is he in front of a heat lamp? Yeah, that's an AirPod.
Yep.
It's now in your ear.
We see your AirPods. Can you hear us? Give us a thumbs up if you can hear us.
Okay, he can hear us great.
He can hear us fine, but we can't hear him.
Okay.
Is he muted?
No, not on this side.
Might be on his side.
Oh. Mike Palmer's recording has failed. The recording has stopped, but everything up till now has been saved.
And he's gone.
All right. Well, maybe I'll try this too. Maybe.
Okay.
I'll stop. Jesus Christ. This is going to be a fucking nightmare for me. Thanks, guys. Oh. We'll let him join. And we'll move on. The classic.
That from Price is Right?
Yes, right.
Yep.
Goddamn that's right like it is.
You fail when you lose at Plinko.
That's what I was going to say. That from Plinko?
I mean, kind of they use the same sound for everything.
Do they?
It's just the losing horns.
Plinko just Plinko's reminds just me.
But Plinko is the... Everyone wants to play Plinko.
Yeah.
It's the best game.
So much skill involved in dropping...
one of eight choices. A disc into a thing.
Yeah, F-body Camaros are bad. So.
That's not a Camaro. That's a Trans Am. They're different. Well, that's a Firebird, actually.
They're the same.
Yeah. It's just as ugly as this thing, though.
Although I did used to... There was a guy that used to autocross that had one.
Yeah, that white one?
The white one. That thing used to pick up front tires.
Yeah. When I got home...
Oh, that's the one I used one time.
These are so long.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
right now?
We can hear
yes,
Mike
can.
Now. All right. All right.
God damn it.
Okay, so I'm gonna hit. I'm hitting record again, and we'll let Mike.
Hi, Mike.
We'll let Mike in.
Welcome, Mike. Welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast. Is that what this is?
God, that would have been great if we had waited that long. Damn, we should have done that.
Okay.
It's just an opportunity for Colin to drop the intro again.
Yeah.
Oh, double intro.
Yeah, and you're like, good night, and everybody's done.
And on that note.
All right, so Mike said yes to that, so we're going to move on.
Cool.
To the next one.
What have I agreed to?
Well, you said yes. To the right. To the Jeep that was on there, right? That's what that meant?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was just
Jesus.
A Jeep, so he's in.
Yeah, he's in.
Okay.
Okay.
Trying to get my lighting right.
Now.
You look like you're sitting in front of a space heater.
I am.
Okay.
1984 Toyota extra cab pickup. It's very patinaed. It's been bobbed.
This is bangers only.
Bangers only. That's
tonight.
Right. It's got a 2RZ.
Yep.
In it.
Yep. Into that.
Dual case, 4.7 rear, 23 spline rear output, 228 front, 21 spline, trail gear hydro assist.
Is this Dave Rose's old truck?
Not even close.
Nope. Dirty 30 axles, fifth stud knuckle done, bulletproofed, I'm steering, front move forward three link front, Fox 14 inch coilover for, I would assume, front, maybe?
Yep. Yeah. And then 56 inch Ford leafs in the back?
In the rear, 56s, okay. Welded 410 and 40s, Fodies. It's got a Grant steering wheel. He made sure to list that too.
And Rockford Fosgate speakers in the back.
In the back. Yep.
Not in the front.
Yep. CB.
Oh.
Onboard air. Needs a tank though. Worn winch. Interior clean for the year.
I mean, it's pretty clean for one of those trucks, to be
honest. Heater works. Factory AC cruise control truck. Wouldn't take much to get them working again.
That part seems to be a stretch. I'm sure the AC wouldn't be bad, but the cruise control... I know a little something about integrating old Toyota cruise control into new things. Mm-hmm. Not the easiest thing. Of course, from a 94, not an 84, but...
Yeah. So, I mean...
That's it.
Me first.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, I would pay money for that. 7 days a week. No doubt
about it.
Twice
on Sundays?
Twice on Sundays. It is not what I would call... overpriced, but I would also not call it a bargain.
Okay.
I think it is.
Did we say price? I don't know if 14.5. 14.5.
It is appropriately priced for the hardware that it has, I think.
Yeah.
That threw me off for a second. I said Castle Rock. I thought it was Denver.
No.
Nope, Washington.
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 It's beautiful.
It's been for sale for a little while too. I've had it pop up for me a couple of times.
I like it.
It's got a good look, a good presence, even with its silly patina.
A good presence.
Great wheels.
I like the shiny wheels.
Yeah, shiny wheels in 40s. And it's got IROCs in that picture, but Trail Grapplers, it says on the... So it's got good tires. It's got good everything. Like, it's good bones.
Good bones.
It can climb the sky.
That 4.7 gear in the transfer case means the 410s are probably totally usable. And I don't love a welded front, but I think it's great.
I don't care about a rear winch either.
You know, I watched Colin use his in the snow, and I was not sold. I'm not putting one on my rig, but I got it in that moment.
It was also nice when the person behind him got stuck in the snow, and we just used it to pull that person out without actually needing anybody to turn around or anything.
I thought it was nice that Colin could self-recover by the time that I got to his truck. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But yeah, I'm super into this.
How about you, Luke?
No.
Just no. It could have been $1,000, and Luke would say nope.
Nope.
What I missed? What the engine transmission?
2RZ.
Oh, 2RZ.
Yeah, newer four cylinder. I'm assuming with a 5-speed.
Not that I need to explain this, but it's a Toyota, so no.
So I'm gonna say some things.
Okay.
I'm also a no.
Oh.
And it's because I've never liked that body style.
Oh, okay.
I have, sorry, Jesse, I have never liked this Toyota pickup body style ever. Man. The one before this, yes. Super if this was the same truck with the first gen body, I'd be a yes. Hmm. But this body, I have never liked.
I always like them. I associate them with like the same Toyota design aesthetic as like an AE86, like that 80s piece of Toyota. Mm-hmm. I think I liked. And we had one when I was little for a long time, a red one that was like a single cab, regular, you know, regular bed, short bed. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was such a cool little truck. And I still like them. I think they're cool. I like Jesse's truck.
All right, I'm not saying Jesse's truck isn't cool. I don't like that body.
Jesse, he said...
I'm going to call Jesse.
He said he hates your truck.
Call Jesse in right now.
He's never coming back.
I would definitely say yes to this. But it would be a dedicated wheeler.
You're just as dumb as I am. You'd drive that thing all over the place.
I know. You're right. I would daily it.
Yeah.
I would daily it.
That's the new work truck.
Yeah.
You would convince your wife to go camping in that.
Miles, we'd have to do the bench seat setup so that he could sit in the
middle. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. One camp trip.
Yeah. It'd only take that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, as soon as he throws the TKs in neutral while you're doing four.
Yeah, exactly.
Just with his feet.
Dad, I'm pressing on this lever. What happens if I pull this
What's
one?
What's this one do?
Yeah.
All right. Ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is fun. We should make the whole podcast just would you pay money for this?
I could line that up at some point.
That could maybe be a super pod where we have everybody, but no, we can't ever get everybody to show.
Exactly. That's, right. Yeah, that's the hard part.
It need to be like a special occasion one. Like the first time Sean's with you in person, when we can have Luke and Sean in person together,
mm-hmm.
we can get everybody else as close as we can, and that'll be our would you pay money
extravaganza. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Everybody submit two.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you jumble them up into a mix and go.
Just kind of, yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
This last one, I feel like I picked this one. It's a lot for me, but it's mostly for Sean.
Oh, okay. Am I going to say yes right away again?
99.
Okay.
Range Rover. So it's a P38.
I do like a P38.
Huh. You're looking. In the fashion, there's groaning. Like it must be at a dealer. It is at a dealership, so
because
there's like no information. But yeah, under 100,000 miles, and it's 100% stock. And I tell you what, this thing is one of the cleanest P38s I have ever laid eyes on.
I need to see an interior pic. Oh my god!
Whew, yeah, interior is like flawless.
It's perfect.
Ooh. So right away I'm paying money for this. What?
Well, I mean it is kind of more of the first noise.
Okay, yeah, it is still a Range Rover, but
womp womp. How much was it again?
It was 17.
I'm gonna say this. I would pay money for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would consider the fact that it's too much money the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But still pay money.
I'm
for
into it.
No, I mean, this is back into where we were talking about the other day, where 99,000 miles is low miles for it, but it's not the kind of low miles that adds cash value to it.
I mean, I think if that
right.
was.
So, well, if that if you were going off that concept, it would be for sale for 50,000, not 17. 17 is.
Those are not going up the way like perfect no, 80 series.
Well,
are.
Yeah, these are nothing but value losers. But yeah. Like at that price, the something this clean.
Hold on,
it is.
What do you
I
get?
Have to point out something. I may be a little colorblind, but mm-hmm. it says the exterior color is gold, which I squinted for a minute and I said, "Yeah, I guess it could be kind of gold." And then it says the interior color. Beige.
Yeah, they got their colors wrong on that.
That's great.
This is a gray
That's
interior.
That's a blue interior if I've ever seen
This
one.
Is a silver car with a blue car it's with blue interior. What the hell?
That looks red on red to me.
They're going to take your credit card money and they're going to.
But.
It's a scam.
Dude, yeah.
Is
for
it Dozer?
I feel like that is right there because you could probably get them down at least a little bit and be in the like. Sub 15 range for yes, it's a Range Rover. I get it.
And that's the best part about it.
But I mean, look at this. The freaking the wood, there's not like
what's
a flaw.
This is a Range Rover question. What's the H shifter for? I don't understand the H.
So that's high range and low range.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Is it broken yet? Is that part of it broken yet?
No. These are actually this like transfer case setup is actually like pretty well known for being reliable in a Land Rover term.
works most of the time.
But the thing is these, and this goes back to Sean's conversation of like, he would want one, not for anything off road, just exactly how this is 100% stock cruising around. It does not have a center locker and it's still full time. So it has this Borg Warner transfer case in it that doesn't center lock. It's a viscous coupling type deal that's in it. So it's completely different while being the same as a same year range Discovery. Like the engine is the same. The axles are not. They are, but they aren't. And the transfer case is not.
How much of this can and can't be the same as not the same, but different?
It's so that like, what do you mean? Like, that's what I'm saying is like, it's the P38's this really, it's a very oddball Land Rover. Cause like I said, it is a disco, but it's like got these different things that they started with a disco and then like changed things that maybe they shouldn't have. To make it more like soccer mom friendly, where the disco was the like, okay, we want to make this was the more off-roady one that the soccer mom can have, but she'll probably complain. Whereas the Range Rovers, you know, that's, you can put your 60-year-old wife in it and she's going to be able to drive it and not complain.
Man, I said yes, but I want to share my screen to point out how not great of a deal this one is.
This one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I love the car itself.
Okay.
So much.
So share your screen then.
They say, can you get one for $7,500 in similar condition?
White with the like cool tan color interior.
Okay.
Like saddle, maybe is what you call that.
Is that blue?
Not as nice.
78,000 miles? I don't know. It looks just as nice to me. 78,000 miles.
Well, I mean, it looks like it's maybe not as well off.
Sold for 5,800.
Go back to that.
I don't think the interior is as nice, and it's a lower trim level.
Yeah, it doesn't have the painted bumpers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like a lower trim level.
Yeah, it's got some
it's got some body damage,
and it's $12,000 cheaper.
Yeah, good point, Mike.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I was.
It is white, also, which I like white more than I like silver.
Range Rover is a good white color. Like they, oh sweet. I'm still into it.
I think
no
I'd say
what.
Yes to this one. I would not say yes to the other one.
I didn't mean to mess it up.
Well,
you'd be
saying yes either way, though. That's the thing.
No,
because it's yes, would you because it's would you pay money for this? If you're saying yes to that Range Rover, that means you said yes to the other one.
I do not subscribe.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for me. It's nice, but good for them.
Yeah, I'll be a solid and actual no. I'll meet you there in my daily driven Toyota on tons.
That shouldn't be daily driven. Yeah, nope. I would pay money for it because I like Range Rovers.
Me too.
Big Range Rover fan. Well, that was the last one that I had.
I'm Googling these now. The second, what do they call the later P38? The like 02 and up.
Not P38.
Okay. So it's just, I like that like refresh of them.
P38, it's classic.
Mm-hmm.
P38, L322.
Okay. Okay.
So, and then L405.
I was looking at like the 02s.
I like the 322s.
Yeah. Those are cool. Like
what
Colin
I
had. Yeah.
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 Yeah. They typically do have, a facelift, because even the L322 actually had two facelifts in its year span. Mm. So, yeah. And then the 405 is when it went really, really street.
I still kind of like them.
They're not terrible.
I mean, like, if I was in the position to buy an Escalade or a Range Rover, I would take Range Rover, again, 7 days out of the week.
I think if I played professional soccer, I
football.
Would consider... No. I'm in the States. I would be in a soccer team. That's the level I could aspire to.
I mean, it's a pretty low level. You might not be able to afford a Range Rover over here.
Oh, my God.
Unless you're a... unless you've already played in the European leagues and are retiring from the European leagues to play over here in your late 30s. You know, like Messi.
No, I'd be the guy that walks on after there's some sort of strike.
Oh, you're a scab.
Yeah. I'm the only guy that's willing to play, and it's not going to be good.
Going to pay for half the money.
I'm winded and very difficult to get along with.
This is crazy. So, like, this is.
Speaking of winded.
Hold on. Speaking of, I'm still stuck on the Range Rover.
Okay.
I gotta share a screen. This is, I mean, this could be a would you pay money for this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about, before I share screen, when I think about, like, you know what? There you go.
Look at it.
Just look at it. Depreciated luxury cars are so interesting to me sometimes. And right. This is one of them. Yeah. I was thinking about this when we were looking for our car. $100,000
for this new.
Yeah. This guaranteed. Is a very expensive vehicle. Mm-hmm. 2020 Range Rover HSE. Can you guys guess how much this ended?
Well, this ended?
$21,000.
Did they include the window sticker from when it was
new? It's probably in here somewhere because there's 108
pictures. I gotta know. I'll bet that thing was 175 when it was new.
Docs.
It's long wheelbase.
I don't know if it was 175.
There we go.
Ooh.
That seems high. No. Okay.
106.
That was off. Yeah, see.
I've seen those things in dealerships fully optioned that are like well near. Well,
if you have like
COVID
the,
card,
yeah, the,
though, right?
The top trim and
hold on.
The
it's a COVID card, right?
The fancy what is the there's so they're
the autobiography or
yeah like autobiography yeah. And they've got
all sorts.
I mean,
of
this
things.
One is supercharged. So this is the downside too, is that these are
priced like Bentaygas.
Aren't these V6s? Yeah,
3 liter turbo they're, six.
Oh, so, it's the 3 liter.
Yeah,
six,
it's not
yeah.
the V8. If it was the V8, yeah. then that would be more money too.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I would still.
Well, anyway,
to me, like, hold on, Mike. 1 second. Sorry, I just I'll forget this point if not. This kind of like spec sheet and relatively reasonable miles, I would assume, makes me just go, this is, I would rather have this over like a new, whatever other normal car there is, a RAV4 or a Tahoe or something like that.
I mean, as long as you can afford
Grand
the
Cherokee.
Upkeep, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how much did it go for?
So hold on though. It's 106, it's a 2020,
yeah.
You
yeah.
said? Or?
Yeah.
So that's right at the beginning of the COVID cars. What was the dealer markup?
Well,
I bet
it depends on which end of the spectrum it's on. Because if it was sold in 2019 as a 2020, it probably went for MSRP.
Yeah, that's probably yeah. got nothing. Yeah.
If it was after, maybe more. But also, I think Range Rovers and like cars like this for a while were pretty isolated from that weird markup situation.
Yeah.
It's not a, like an
they're
enthusiast
already
car.
Expensive. So
yeah,
a lot okay. of luxury cars are sold at sticker.
Yeah, so okay. $35,000.
That's
which is like
that's kind of what I figured. Wow. Yeah,
isn't that awesome for a 2020?
That's so much car for 35,000. Yeah.
This is 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How many miles?
72,000. I'm fine with that.
72,000.
I'm happy to take that.
It's high miles for its age.
Yeah. Sure.
It's so much car. For
and it's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so worn well. And I think that,
yeah.
like,
oh,
I think
man.
Part of the argument here is we're getting to a point where cars are pretty good overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, the 70,000-mile 98 Range Rover in 2002 was like, I don't know. That's kind of sketchy. But this yeah. one, I don't know. It seems pretty good. I don't hear of these things imploding on themselves all the time.
No.
It's a lot of car. And if you roll up to anywhere with that, I don't really care about this, right? Like, I don't think any of us care about it, but there is like this thing. If you roll up to, you know, a restaurant in your ZR2, which costs this much money,
mm-hmm.
people go, look at your little mid-sized pickup truck,
right,
like
yeah.
whatever.
Just another
you pull up
mid-size.
In that, they're like, holy,
yeah.
this guy's
motherfucker drives a Range Rover.
Damn.
I mean, I got it when
yeah.
I was in the L322,
yeah,
which,
the time,
was like,
sure.
which was,
yeah.
you know, 15 years old.
It's just crazy.
Oh, you drive a Range Rover.
My F-150.
Where that opportunity is really going to come
yeah.
for normal people
yeah.
is 5 and 6
yeah,
year old Rivians.
I mean,
and 6 year old Taycans. Those things I don't know that they have before.
Yeah.
Lucids.
I don't know.
Getting into a
nice.
Lucid
would,
for $50,000 is going
to I would
be
pay
insane.
Money for this.
I'd pay money for the one that dude's turning
that's,
into a desert
yeah,
truck.
Yeah, that
I would.
Sick.
That one's sick.
I like this body too. I think these are cool.
I
again, no,
I,
no
there's
use
like
for it.
There's certain bits of it that I like. It's like it's an altered L322
yeah.
is what it looks and
it's bigger.
Just I all yeah, it's bigger, it's lower.
Yeah.
So yes, it's totally not like, you know, our type of vehicle. For those reasons, because it's lower.
Yeah.
But for if you're just going to do the P38 type thing, just
yeah.
stock and drive it, like,
yeah.
You'd be hard pressed
to
get
pick up the kids at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. To get more, like Luke said, a more yeah. option vehicle for for that kind of price.
It's insane.
Which is what I said about the L322, and you laughed when I mentioned you could get so much more L322 for the price than you could an 80 series.
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
You're right.
So, like, that was...
Yeah.
No, or a 100 series. Or
That's kind of a matter of how far will an 80 series take you versus a Range Rover, or, you know, a Land Rover product.
Yeah. I mean, the Range Rover
300,000 miles on a Land Rover...
Hmm.
I don't know.
These more modern ones...
300,000 miles on an 80 series is...
Sure. Like, that, whatever, yeah, dropping a bucket. The more modern Land Rover stuff is... I don't see them having the issue getting there.
Yeah.
They have so much less problem in that department than what they used to, like engine-wise.
Yeah.
Yes, there's the other components that then end up being expensive when you need to replace them. Just like, but it's all the same components you have to replace on anything. But because it says Land Rover, it's a higher price to replace the component. But as far as the big stuff, like your transmissions, your transfer cases, your engines, they're all... I don't see how anybody's going to have any problems. Like, as far as getting with those, getting to that type of mileage.
Yeah.
I see L322s all over the place that are well over 200,000, whether it's the TD6 or the V8s. And it's like no one is concerned. So, yeah.
And it's probably a ZF gearbox, those things.
It is.
Yeah, most likely.
Yep.
Pretty well proven.
Mm-hmm.
So we all agree. It's the deal of the century.
Yeah.